Amen. Yes, I am a little taller than Julia. So, just a little bit. Well, it's great to be here today. Isn't it good to be with family, with church family, whether you're here in person or if you're online? We just want to welcome you, and it's just so good to be here. By way of introduction, Mary and I moved to Devon about a year and 2 months ago, and we've just come to feel so loved and accepted here in our church family at DCC, and we're expecting great things, and it's just great to be part of what's going on here. If you're wondering why I walk a little bit funny and why my left hand doesn't work so well, it's just because I had a stroke when I was 8 years old. And let's just say that getting hit full force in the side of a in the head with a baseball doesn't exactly have a great outcome. And at the time, one of the top pediatric neurosurgeons in the country told my parents that I may not even survive. But and if I did, I would probably be in a wheelchair. But God had a bigger plan, amen. So I'm just really glad to even be here. And you can read the whole story on my website. We've got it listed there under testimonies. But in the spring of 1988, just a few months after we were married, Mary and I left our home and our friends and family in southern Ontario. And we moved up to this little town called Hay River in the Northwest Territories. It's about 1,100 kilometers north of here. And I got to tell you, it was a bit of a culture shock after growing up in Toronto. But we were working in the little community hospital there, which at the time was run by the Pentecostal Subartic Mission under the PAOC. And not long after we arrived, the mission director took me aside and he said, "Glenn, up here you've got to be ready to preach, pray, sing, or die at a moment's notice." And I shared that one with Pastor Gill a few weeks ago. And not long after that, I found myself preaching in a little log church in the Dene village of Fort Simpson, way up in the Decho region of the Northwest Territories, right on the banks of the Mackenzie River, about 450 kilometers west of Yellowknife. And later, I had the privilege of serving on the pastoral staff of our church in Hay River. So Mary and I have a lot of stories and a lot of experiences, crazy stuff that goes on up there that we could share with you sometime. But just so that you know, whenever I preach, I'm preaching to myself, okay? Just as much as to anyone. And also, whenever I'm preaching, I tend to reference a lot of scripture because the more of the word we can get into our heads and, more importantly, into our hearts, the better it is, right? So if you have your Bible or your app, you can check them out and follow along. So, all of that being said, what's happening here on September 20th? This is the part where you can yell out, "Federal election," right? But with an election on the radar, is this loud enough or too? It's good? Okay. With an election on the radar, one of the things that we've heard so much of are what? Promises. Promises, promises, promises. And it's kind of the same old thing every election time, isn't it? The leaders of every party are out there crisscrossing the country, shaking hands and bumping elbows and kissing babies. And they're promising everything to everyone. Every one of them claims to have the answers. They can fix the problems. They're going to keep their promises. But what really happens? You know, no sooner is a person put into power, it seems like promises made, promises forgotten, right? That's about how it seems to work. And then they go off and on their own agendas. Well, today I'm not here to do any political posturing, but I just want to share some practical thoughts about the promises of God. Promises of God, promises made, promises kept. And that's about the only thing you're going to see on the screen today because technology is great when it works, but when it doesn't, it's kind of crazy. One time I was preaching in Hay River, and some of the teens from our youth church were up in the sound room, and I was preaching away, doing my thing. And all of a sudden, this huge banner comes across behind me. It says, "Pastor Glenn, it's almost lunchtime. Are you nearly done?" And I just kind of went, "Oh, why is everybody laughing at me?" But obviously, the promises of God are just a huge topic. So today, we're not even going to scratch the surface, but hopefully we can come away from this challenged a bit and encouraged a lot. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, I thank you for the empowering of your Holy Spirit that reveals and enlightens us to the truths of your word. Father, I just commit this time to you now, and we give you the praise, and we give you the glory as you open our hearts and our minds to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So God is faithful and true in everything that he says and does. Amen. So we can count on the promises of God in the Bible to be absolutely trustworthy. We can count on them. They are absolutely 100% true. God is faithful. And church, you can take that to the bank. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. So I want to encourage you to just hang on to that little phrase right now, okay? His very great and precious promises. Just kind of tuck that one in your heart right now, because this explains the value of the glory and virtue that God calls us. And this means that the promises of God are based on his glory, his virtue, and therefore are perfectly reliable, because God never will compromise his glory and virtue. Psalm 138:2 reminds us that God honors his word even above his name. And the writer of that psalm, David, having mentioned God's truth in the previous verse, says that the main way God's truth is communicated to us is through his word. And God has such a high estimation of his word that he's magnified it above his very name. Now, that's a pretty incredible statement, isn't it? Showing the regard that God has for his own word. He holds his word in high esteem. It would be as if God was saying, I value my integrity above everything else. Above everything else, I want to be believed. We can never doubt any promise of God. Here's what the great British preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon had to say about this. He said, God's promises are both exceedingly great in the sense of being large and imposing, and they are precious in the sense of being valuable. Many things are great which are not precious, such as great rocks, which are of little value. On the other hand, many things are precious, which are not great, such as diamonds and other jewels, which cannot be very great if they be very precious. But here we have promises which are so great that they are not less than infinite, and so precious that they are not less than divine. So if you've ever read the Bible cover to cover, and I'd really encourage you to do that if you haven't, give it a try sometime. If you need some help with that, you can check out my website. We've got a feature on there. It's a Bible in a year thing. You can click in and do it absolutely for free. But you'll find that there are thousands. In fact, they figure there's over 8,000 promises in Scripture. So can I encourage you today to receive them? To lay claim to them, because God is faithful. There are no broken promises, because they're the sacred word of a faithful God who never breaks his promises. You know, millions of Christians have drawn hope from that well-known hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. It was written in 1886, so Miranda, it was a little bit before your time. But it's been around for a while. But it's an old one, but it's a good one. So we need to take a close-up look at this. Genesis 28, 12 to 15 records an interesting encounter that Jacob had. You know, he was in a place called Bethel, which is about 10 miles north of Jerusalem. And God had made a covenant promise to Abraham and Isaac. And it was offered to Jacob as well. And if you kind of study up on that little chunk of scripture, you find that it's actually a great little sermon in itself. And the Lord promised Jacob, I'll be with you. I'll keep you. I will bring you again into this land. I won't leave you until I have done all that I have said to you. And church, these same promises are for you and I today. God's presence, his guidance, his protection. God's absolute trustworthiness has been demonstrated over a long, long period of time. Amen. The record that the Word of God holds shows indisputably that God keeps his promises. There are his assurance, his commitment to us, his guarantee to do that. He will do what he says he's going to do. Hebrews 6:12 says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And I think we could put it this way. Instead of giving into discouragement, imitate those who have found the key to gaining God's promises. Faith and patience. Of course, we know that was demonstrated by that old patriarch, Abraham. The Lord's promises were faithfully fulfilled in Old Testament Israel, in Christ's time here on earth, and for us today. So let's be mindful of the fact that God never promises anything that does not have his power, truth, or meaning behind it. Amen. Numbers 23:19, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? What is this telling us? It's saying don't evaluate God's reliability like a human. How many times has someone said to you, well, I'll do this, I'll do that, count on me, I'll show up, and then it doesn't happen. You ever had that? God will never lie, okay? He will never deceive. He will never mislead you. He will never let you down, not ever. And God will not change his mind. Church, we can trust God. We can rely on God to keep his Bible promises in every detail because they are his infallible pledge to us. So if God has made promises in his word, the Bible, those scripture promises are true, and God will not change his mind. You can count on the promises of God. Joshua 21:43-45, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Now, some of those promises took several years, but they came true. So let's keep in mind that the promises of God will be fulfilled according to his timetable, not ours, right? According to his plan and purpose, according to his will. We know that his word is sure, and the more we learn of those promises that God has fulfilled and continues to fulfill, the easier it is to hope and believe God for the ones that are yet to come. Joshua 23:14 says, not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. God promised Israel land. He promised them rest. Every promise to them was fulfilled. And yet they had to do their part. They had to obey the covenant or they would fail to possess the land completely. You can read about that in the first chapter of that book. Under the new covenant, God will faithfully fulfill his promises as we do our part, walking in faithful obedience to him. Someone once said, with every promise, there's a premise. So we could say that obedience then is the key to possess the promises and claim the kingdom. You know, the Bible is a historical record of absolute reliability of God's promises to his people. Aren't you glad for that? The Bible promises have always been proven trustworthy. So church, you can count on it. God keeps his promises. I like this one. Psalm 119:140. Your promises have been thoroughly tested And your servant loves them. Don't you just love this stuff? Isn't this great? You know, over thousands of years, God's Bible promises have been thoroughly tested and found to be true. For example, God's promise of healing. Jehovah Rapha healed Abraham's wife who couldn't bear children. 5 centuries later, he healed. Remember the snake-bitten Israelites in the wilderness? 1,500 years later, he still healed. Check out the Gospels and the book of Acts. Another 2,000 years later, and he still heals today. Still heals today. So over the space of 4,000 plus years from Abraham to now, God's promises in the Bible have been thoroughly tested and found to be trustworthy. You guys kind of getting the gist of this by now? Kind of getting into this a bit? Psalm 145:13, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful and he'll do it. There are no broken promises with God. If he's spoken it, he'll do it. Hebrews 10:23, he who promised is faithful. You know, we can count on all the promises in Scripture because the God of the promises is faithful. Amen? The reason we can stand strong is because he who promised is faithful. And isn't it better to trust in his faithfulness than try to go it alone? You know, Romans 4:13 and 16 says, it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that they would he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace. See, God's promise to Abraham was based on the principle of faith, not law, not works. Faith is the ground of God's blessing. The promise comes by faith, by grace. Grace functions on faith. And we speak faith in Christ. Amen? You know, God is a God of infinite grace. What does infinite mean? Unlimited. And really, that's a whole sermon series in itself right there. But here's the thing. You and I can't earn or deserve God's promises. They are ours by grace. So if we can believe God, we can count on his promises. Because they are free gifts of his grace. Romans 4:19 to 21 says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Aren't you glad that the promises of God don't depend on our own abilities, but on his? You know, Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. They themselves had zero ability to bear children. But the key was Abraham's confidence that God had power to do what he had promised. So if we can focus on God's unlimited power, then we can count on that power to fulfill God's promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through them, the amen is spoken to us, spoken by us to the glory of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. We can depend on God's promises because Jesus is their guarantee. Amen. And we can't even imagine God the Father saying no to God the Son. God the Father will always say yes to the Son and will always affirm what the Son says. Jesus says yes. It's rock solid, rubber stamp. Done. Jesus is the assurance, the surety of God's promises. We can count on the Bible promises because Jesus is saying yes and amen to them on our behalf. So church, let's always remember that Jesus is our assurance that the Bible promises will be fulfilled. And I couldn't wrap this up today without sharing with you what I feel is probably the greatest promise of them all. And there's so many. It comes from Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, there's the gospel message, right? Anyone, anywhere who calls on his name, trusts in his finished work, can enter into a real and personal relationship with the writer of the promises, God himself, forgiven of absolutely anything, cleansed, set free. But I also believe this applies to any believer with whatever need. Because, church, the cross is the means by which all of this is done. So I just want to encourage you today, just keep believing, okay? Keep claiming those promises in the Word as you discover them. Walk by faith, because faith matters. Faith in our faithful and unfailing God. Not in our feelings, not in our circumstances, or even in other people. And I want you to leave here today with this little thought in your heart that I found. Never interpret his love by your circumstances, but always interpret your circumstances by his love. I'll say that again. Never interpret his love by your circumstances, but always interpret your circumstances by his love. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, I thank you for all the precious promises that you have given us. God, today I pray that you would bless your people. Lord, make your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them as they go today, walking in the flow of your Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you honor today for who you are. In Jesus' name.